a worthy London prentice, my purpose is to speak, and tell his brave adventures done for his country's sake. Seek all the world about, and you shall hardly find a man in valour to exceed a prentice gallant mind. He was born in Cheshire, the chief of men was he, from thence brought up to London, a prentice for to be. A merchant on the bridge did like his service so, that for 3 years his factor to Turkey he should go. And in that famous country 1 year he had not been, ere he by tilt maintained the honour of his queen. Elizabeth the princess he nobly did make known to be the phoenix of the world, and none but she alone. In armour richly gilded, well mounted on a steed, 100 of knights most hardy 1 day he made to bleed, and brought them all to ground, who proudly did deny Elizabeth to be the pearl of princely majesty. The king of that same country thereat began to frown, and willed his son there present to pull this youngster down, who at his father's words this boasting speech is said: "Thou art a traitor, English boy, and hast the traitor played." "I am no boy nor traitor, these speeches I defy, for which I'll be revenged upon thee by and by. A London prentice still shall prove as good a man as any of your Turkish knights, do all the best you can." And therewithal he gave him a box upon the ear, which broke his neck asunder, as plainly doth appear. "Now, no, proud Turk," quoth he, "I am no English boy that can with 1 small box of the ear the prince of Turks destroy." When as the king perceived his son so strangely slain, his soul was sore afflicted with more than mortal pain, and in revenge thereof he swore that he should die the cruelest death that ever man beheld with mortal eye. 2 lions were prepared this prentice to devour, near famished up with hunger, 10 days within a tower, to make them far more fierce and eager of their prey, to glut themselves with human gore upon this dreadful day. The appointed time of torment at length grew near at hand, where all the noble ladies and barons of the land attended on the king to see this prentice slain and buried in the hungry maws of these fierce lions twain. Then in his shirt of cambric with silk most richly wrought, this worthy London prentice was from the prison brought, and to the lions given to staunch their hunger great, which had not eaten 10 days' space not 1 small bit of meat. But God, that knows all secrets, the matter so contrived that by this young man's valour they were of life deprived. For being faint of food, they scarcely could withstand the noble force and fortitude and courage of his hand. For when the hungry lions had cast on him their eyes, the elements did thunder with the echo of their cries, and running all amain his body to devour, into their throats he thrust his arms with all his might and power. From thence by manly valour their hearts he tore in sunder, and at the king he threw them to all the people's wonder. "This have I done," quoth he, "for lovely England's sake, and for my country maiden queen much more we'll undertake." But when the king perceived his wrathful lion's hearts, afflicted with great terror, his rigor soon reverts, and turned all his hate into remorse and love, and said it was some angel sent down from heaven above. No, no, I am no angel, the courteous young man said, but born in famous England, where God's word is obeyed, assisted by the heavens, who did me thus befriend, or else they had most cruelly brought here my life to end. The king in heart amazed lift up his eyes to heaven, and for his foul offences did crave to be forgiven, believing that no land like England may be seen, no people better governed by virtue of a queen. So taking up this young man, he pardoned him his life, and gave his daughter to him to be his wedded wife, where then they did remain and live in quiet peace, in spending of their happy days in joy.